You know, we're prone to think in terms of events often in life. So we have to distinguish between events and processes. We would like to just come up to an altar someday and have somebody lay hands on us and be done. Or maybe just come to an altar and ask Jesus to come into our hearts and be done. Or come to a church service once a week and call that good because we're doing this event. We'll plan an event. We'll plan a revival. It's an event. Let's come and let's have revival once a year because it's an event that we look forward to. We plan. And what do? We come expecting. Why? Because we advertise it as a revival. So, we're going to get revived this week. Well, what happens after that week? We know what I'm talking about. We send our children off to camp. And they get all excited about Jesus. And it may go for a week, maybe two. And it's right back into the old place again, you know, of routine, boredom, disconnect. And the same thing is true for adults. We can go to events. We can get charged at an event. And yet we can leak out and become stagnant again. If we don't learn about this thing called process and that we have to, as a priest of God, maintain the supply of oil to our vessels. The Holy Spirit is that oil. And we are responsible to keep the flame going. Are you hearing me? God supplies the oil, but our responsibility is to stay alive, is to be in personal revival. Not as a corporate event, but as a personal way of life as we walk with the Lord daily. As we are in communion with God daily, we are living and walking, abiding in life. Because He is our life. And then when we come together, well, we're a congregation that's in revival. It's not an event, but it's a lifestyle. It's a way of life. And many times we just depend on that fix that we get at the next pit stop on Sunday to kind of carry us through until the next time we get to the IV and get the drip going again. And sometimes it's like that. We're just surviving. But God wants us to go beyond surviving to thriving. And we should be thriving in Him. And it's possible only by the grace that He supplies. You can't conjure this up. You can't work this thing up. You've got to stay connected to Him who is life in order to be revived. We need to return to Jesus and we need to learn how to walk in this every day. As we do this individually, then corporately we are a church that is alive. Are you hearing me? Sometimes you have a handful or a pocket of people who are alive and they come in and they gather and that in itself creates an atmosphere. But what if everybody decides to be personally responsible for the oil supply in their life, to walk in that place with the Lord daily, to stay refreshed daily, to stay built up daily, to be in the Word, to be in prayer, to be in communion with God, to be in obedience to His voice, to be sharing Jesus. Are you hearing me? And as we do that individually, when we come together corporately, we are creating a greater cloud, if you will, of God's presence, a glory that will exceed what can only take place if there's a few people, for example, that get together and decide, well, we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to move today. And you know, God answers the prayer even if there's two or three. Amen? He answers the prayer of a righteous individual, right? A righteous man. God will answer that prayer. But how much better is it when all of us pull together and determine that we need a move of God that's going to shake this city, amen, for Jesus. What happens is often we become like the five foolish virgins who just depend on somebody else to keep them charged. Give us some of your oil. Lay hands on me and give me some of that oil. You hear me? I'm totally in agreement. If you want to come up and be prayed for, we're here. Amen. We'll pray. We'll agree that God will touch you. But we're not giving you our anointing. Amen. We're asking God to anoint you. But you need to learn how to go to the Father daily as an individual and call upon Him, pray, and receive your supply. That's why we are to pray, give us this day our daily bread. If we as individuals are in revival or are alive, then how much better is it when we come together corporately? And you know, the enemy is slick. He works on us as individuals. He works on picking us off one by one, drawing us away one by one, distracting us one by one, getting us involved in sin one by one, until it starts to permeate and begins to poison and choke out the life of God in a fellowship. And a church is only as healthy as the individuals in that church. You get that? We're only going to be as healthy as each individual is healthy and coming together. I'm actually responsible for you. But you're responsible for me too. I am my brother's keeper. And so for your sake, especially, I need to make sure that I'm keeping myself pure. Amen? That I'm not indulging my flesh. That I'm staying filled up. I'm getting that supply of oil. Amen? So that lamp doesn't go out. That lamp continues to burn. Amen? So we can be influencers. We can be salt. We can be light. So God wants His church to get out of the mentality of just doing events to where it's a daily walk. It's a daily pilgrimage. Here we have no continuing city. We're pressing on. We're going somewhere. We're marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. We're pursuing the heart of our Father. We want to know Him. The only way we can make Him known is that we know Him first. You really can't reveal somebody you don't know. Come on, somebody. You can't tell anybody about Jesus if you don't really know Jesus. You can talk about Jesus, but you can't reveal Jesus unless you know Him. See, there's a lot of people talking about God, talking about Jesus. They're learning about Jesus, but do you know Jesus? Unless you're born again. You can't know Him. A lot of people are just gathering more and more information, thinking that if I can just get another CD, I can get to another new conference or something else, you know, then my life will be complete. No, it is a process, of daily process, that God's working in us, both the will and the do of His good pleasure. And we have to be responsible before the Lord to obey His voice. And as we obey His voice and we walk with Him, we continue in life. Amen? That oil begins to flow as you begin to teach others, as you begin to share with others. Amen? That begins to flow right out of you, doesn't it? And you find yourself being watered as you water others. So we can't be in this as an event where I come to get something just for me, but I'm here because I'm a part of something bigger than myself. I'm part of the body of Christ, and God has gifted me, God has given me something to invest. And so I come. Whether I speak or not, you carry an anointing if you're in Christ. You prayed up. You're ready. You come. You carry that anointing. You got your angels assigned to you. You got your anointing. You got the angels. And we're coming together with a festal gathering here this morning. Amen. In the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. We're not alone. Amen. God is with us. One of the big problems we have is we are in a hurry, first of all. We live in a quick fix society. You know, some call it the throwaway society. You know, you go through the McDonald's, you order the food, it only took you, 10 seconds to get your food. And we kind of have this programming in us. We watch, television, or you watch, YouTubes, or people are doing the tweeting, they're doing the texting. I like to do the texting. But everything is quick. Everything is instant. And we have been programmed to think instant and quick and get it now. And we're losing that concept of that. Some things are worth waiting for, and you have to work towards goals in life. You can't just get everything right now and have the instant gratification. Sometimes it's going to require some short-term pain that you might have long-term gain. That means I have to deny myself today if I want what God has for me tomorrow. And you know what's been happening in our nation and even with our politicians? They're eating the children's bread. They're feeding themselves today on the children's bread. And they don't care. They're going to check out in 20, 30 years. Who cares? That's what's been happening. Thank God we got somebody in there that's starting to shake things up and turn things around and expose what's been going on. And I know he's being criticized. He's being put down. But you better recognize that God's got his hand in this. And this is an answer to prayer. We've had people been praying for some time now, amen, that God would expose the corruption and bring some of these wicked ones to justice. That's what I'm praying. Because what we forget sometimes is God is not only a God of mercy and grace, but he's a God of justice. And God wants to bring justice to his people. He wants to go to bat for you. That's why we need to call out to him, amen, and say, God, avenge me of my adversaries. Oh yeah, that's what Jesus taught. I think that's pretty good preaching. We'll stick to Jesus, all right? There's a Chinese proverb. Dig the well before you're thirsty. Dig the well before you're thirsty. Now, a lot of times, again, we're living our lives in the moment, instantly. And if it doesn't happen right away, we just throw our hands up and say, well, it must not. But no, there's a lot of people that, and I'm not knocking people if they're on the street, but there are a lot of people on the street that have understood this concept, that in order for you to get out of the place you're in, it's going to require some sacrifice and some putting something aside, away, amen, and working towards a goal of getting yourself from point A to point B. It's not going to happen instantly. But see, we've been programmed to think instantly. I need the instant gratification. I need to have it all now. I don't want to have to save up. I don't want to have to deny myself anything in the now so that I can have something better later. The best investment we can make, by the way, that's the title of this message, the best investment, is to invest ourselves in the kingdom. To live for God. That's the only thing that's going to last. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. You could probably quote it with me. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Bread is speaking of the grain from which the bread is made. So it's saying spread your grain or spread your seed upon the waters. It could be the saturated land. In some cultures, you know, the water, they have floods, but they'll cast the seed upon the water, and they don't know where or how or when, but they cast the seed anyways because they have no other options. Now, you know, as I was preparing this, I was thinking about this, that the Word of God is likened to bread. The Word of God is likened to a seed, and the Holy Spirit is often typified as water. And so here we see the seed, the bread, amen, and the water together. The Spirit and the Word work together. But the seed should be sown, hear me, where the Spirit is working. We all know what it's like to cast seed in a place where there's no water. There's been no preparation. The Holy Spirit has not been there, and you're just throwing seed out. Are you hearing me, somebody? You need the Spirit and the Word working together. God, the Holy Spirit, as we pray and we call on the Lord on behalf of others, we intercede. God begins to work on people and he begins to plow up the soil of the heart and bring a person to a place to where they're now open and ready to receive the seed of God's Word. But we need to be navigating by the Spirit of the Lord and say, Lord, where is the fruit? Where is the prepared heart? Who is the man of peace? Who is the one that you are calling, Lord, at this time, whose heart has been conditioned by the Spirit and is ready now to receive the Word? Are you hearing me? We've got to sow where the Spirit is working. Sometimes we just think in generalities. And we can say, Lord, save the world. Amen. You know, you get a prayer meeting. Lord, please save all the people of the world. Yes, but who? God's saying, give me some specifics here. Because not everybody is a sheep. He said there's going to be few that are saved, actually. There's a remnant. So find out, who are the lost sheep? Where are they? They're there. God, open our eyes and show us where the lost sheep are. Show us where the fruit is hanging off the tree, low-hanging fruit. God is a generous God. God is a God who is extravagant with His children. He's not stingy. And He wants us to learn how to be a giver like He is. He wants us to learn the principle of sowing and reaping. Sowing our lives, not just finances. Some people just get off on the financial kick. Amen? But what we should be doing is sowing our hearts, sowing our lives into the harvest. Sowing our hearts, our lives, into the kingdom. Knowing that whatever we're doing in agreement with the Holy Spirit is going to bear fruit unto eternal life. It's going to last. You all know what I'm talking about? We can spend ourselves and spend our resources on vain things. We can spend thousands of dollars going to the amusement park. Well, I'll throw a dollar in the missions envelope. Where are our priorities? In order to reap a harvest, natural or spiritual, we have to sow faithfully. A farmer has to see beyond the moment. He has to see beyond the temporary. A farmer has to see the harvest before he sows. Are you hearing me? You need to see the harvest. You need to see the potential, even in people. When we look at somebody, do we just look at somebody that's broken down, busted, and disgusted? Or do we look at a soul that Jesus shed His blood for, that has potential, that has gifts, that has been blessed of God in so many ways, and they could be a blessing in this world if they only knew how much God loves them and what God has for them? Any type of farming requires patience. This thing is not an event, folks. This is a process. We're involved in the process. Amen? From cradle to grave till the day we see Jesus, we should be about our Father's business. Understanding that whatever we do unto the Lord is not in vain. We should be sowing. Because if you continue to sow, even when you're not seeing it, but you sow with expectation that someday there's going to be a harvest. I'm praying, I'm believing, and I'm sowing. And sometimes I get frustrated because I'm looking for instant results. But what I don't understand is that God is working in the secret places of the heart. And God is preparing people. And God is working in hearts. And God is bringing change. Even though I may not see it, God sees in secret. Are you hearing me, somebody? And whatever I'm doing in obedience to God will never be in vain. If God tells me to speak a word, all right, I'll speak that word. Why? Because it's going to produce something that's good. If God tells you to pray for somebody, pray for them. Don't ignore that voice. Don't say, why do I keep thinking about so-and-so? God's saying something to you. Agree with the Holy Spirit and you'll have fruit. Amen? And the potential for that person to be saved, to be born again, to be healed or to be delivered is based upon our expectation, our faith as well. If we're going to sow into somebody's life, we sometimes deal with children, right? Maybe some of you have children that are away from the Lord and you're struggling with this thing. But it's a process and it takes time. But you just be consistent. You keep praying. You keep sowing. You keep believing. And God in His season, amen, there is a season for harvest. But if you quit and you don't sow and you don't pray, then you give the devil what he wants. Galatians 6:8, how many know this? For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. There's two types of sowing. One is to the spirit and one is to the flesh. One is to life and one is to death. He who sows to his flesh or the sin nature will of that nature reap corruption. But he who sows to the spirit will of the spirit reap everlasting life. Be careful that you're not sowing discord. Be careful what you're planting, what you're sowing. What are you saying? Do you have a critical spirit? Do you like to gossip? Do you like to tear people down? Do you like to talk to people about, you know, about other people behind their back? Do you get a kick out of knocking somebody down that maybe you're jealous over? Whatever you're sowing is what you're going to reap. Oh, the world calls it karma, but the Bible says it's sowing and reaping. Amen? It's a principle. Keep on sowing love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Sow. Amen? What you expect, if you go out and you're sowing carrots, you're not expecting turnips, God forbid. But, you know, but you sow carrots because you believe in carrots, right? You're going to see carrots someday. So, amen? You know, he who will be watered must himself water others. If we water other people, we're going to also ourselves be watered. But if we do nothing, if we can be sitting on the seed, and you know what happens sometimes? A foolish farmer will eat the seed. All of it. He has seed for the harvest, and then seed for grain, seed for bread. But then he has also seed that will be used the next year for replanting. And some people, they don't invest what they have. They just consume everything on themselves. How many know if you receive a seed today, amen, you get a seed for you, but that seed's not just for you. It's for somebody else. Go take it and sow it into somebody else's life and find out that whatever you're sowing in obedience to the Spirit of God, you won't lose. You will have a harvest someday. But you got to have patience, just like a farmer has to be patient. Don't look for instant results every time. Sometimes it happens like that, and it's wonderful when it does. But often, it's just a process of day-to-day being faithful. That's what God wants from you, folks. He just wants you and I to be faithful to Him. We have expectations. We have maybe dreams and goals and big this and big that, but just be faithful. Leave the results up to God. Hebrews 11, many of those that had died in faith, they had sown in this world while they were alive, they didn't receive the promises during their lifetime. But the fruit followed. So if we have an eternal perspective, we understand that what I'm sowing, what I'm giving, what I'm doing for God today, amen, is not going to be in vain. Because I'm expecting someday there will be a harvest. Someday your children will be saved. Someday your neighbor will be saved. Amen? Someday what you've been believing for will come to pass because you have been faithful to continue to sow and to water even when the conditions were not favorable. Ecclesiastes 11 and 2 says, give a serving to seven. And also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. Again, dig the well before you're thirsty. You don't wait until you're thirsty to start digging a well. How many know you can dehydrate and die? You know, we're talking about those wells too, when you're like shoveling them out by hand. Amen? You get ready. You get into a place. You dig wells. What we're doing here, and we pray and we call on the Lord, we're digging up a well, amen, of revival, of refreshing, amen? And there's a remnant that comes together and pray. But what if everybody said, let's all come together, pull together, let's call heaven down, not only in this church, but in our city, amen, and in the Northwest? The first reference here is it says to sow, or cast your bread. What is that bread? Again, the bread is the gospel. It's the message of the Lord. Amen? And it says to sow it or to cast it. There is a proper way to sow seed. How many have ever planted a garden, right? You can't plant all the seeds the same depth. Some are more towards the side, right? Towards the surface. But there's a technique in sowing, and God, the Holy Spirit, gives wisdom and teaches us how to be effective farmers. How to sow the seed in the right conditions. So this water could also represent the ocean of humanity. As we're sowing the seed of the word into the ocean of humanity, into people's hearts. And sometimes, if you know what I'm talking about, sometimes the ocean can be very turbulent. Sometimes in the process of sowing seed, you're going to experience some turbulence. Expect it. You're going to have some opposition when you set your heart to serve the Lord and do the will of God. But don't be discouraged, and don't let the devil talk you out of something eternal, amen, by getting you all concerned about the temporary and how things look now. How many know that sometimes people got to get mad before they can get glad? Sometimes you got to just tell somebody it straight and let them get a little upset, but hopefully they'll go away and they'll think about it and say, you know, well, I guess you're right. But in the moment, I was just not going to receive it. But then there's a promise. If you cast your bread upon the waters after many days, you will find it. You will find it after many days. It's a guarantee. If you're sowing the word of God in obedience to the Spirit of God, it's a guarantee that it will bear fruit. It will produce. Whatever the Lord sets forth his word to do, it will produce. Amen. So the harvest is what we look forward to. And the Lord is the Lord of the harvest. And we're doing this for Jesus. Amen. We want to bring a return to Jesus. He's the faithful gardener. It's talking about give a portion to seven, also to eight. It's talking about diversity and also liberality. Be liberal in the way that you minister. Be diligent in your ministry. Don't be sloppy, don't be slothful, but be diligent, knowing that your labor in the Lord is never in vain. It's also saying, kind of like, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Look for ways to sow seed. I'm going to speak as a fool for a little bit. Oh, is that okay? I've been doing it for the last half hour, but God uses fools, you know. I'm just going to tell you, folks, there's a lot of areas in my life that God's still working on, of course. We're all a work in progress. Can you turn to your neighbor and say you're a work in progress too? Yeah, okay. All right. But, you know, you got to be deliberate about this. And what I do is I look for ways. I look for where is the fruit? Is it in the hospital? It may be in the jail. It may be at the nursing home. Amen? Well, we can do a thing on Thursday night. We can gather, right, for prayer meeting. We can do this. We're looking for opportunity and ways to where we can sow and water, looking for the opportunities that God gives us. How many know that we're surrounded with opportunity? There is a harvest. We're surrounded with opportunity. But if the enemy gets us distracted with so many vain things and temporary things, then we're not going to be thinking about the eternal things. Or if he can get us discouraged and looking for the instant results and say, well, I can remember the first time my wife and I, it was the first time we took an adult ministry. And this is back in Tacoma. And I can remember they gave me an opportunity there to do a Wednesday night Bible study or something like that. So we talked to everybody, said, hey, we're going to do this Wednesday night Bible study. And so I prepared. I had a great message ready to go. And so we showed up. And guess who showed up? Now, at that point, I could have said, oh, well, it must not be God's will. But if you're hearing God and he's saying, be faithful. Keep sowing, keep watering, keep pressing on. Don't look at the way it looks. See beyond the temporary to the eternal. Know, amen, that there's a harvest. You have to first see the harvest. You got to have a vision of the eternal. Amen. If I keep sowing, I keep watering, I keep being faithful, eventually people are going to come. People are going to get saved. People are going to change. Imagine that. People that, I was one of those people nobody thought could change, but somebody had invested in me. Somebody had to be praying for me somewhere. And somebody had presented the gospel to me. How about you? Somebody was sowing. Somebody had watered me. Amen? And God brought the increase. God brought about the harvest. Proverbs 6:6 says, go to the ant. Consider her ways and be wise. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. I think the Message says it, and I don't recommend the Message, but it says, you lazy bones. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. The ant has to have the vision that someday what I'm doing now, even though it may be mundane and it may be just a day-to-day task of building up, amen, and providing and supplying, someday I'm going to need that. Do you understand that when you sow in the Holy Spirit, you give in the Holy Spirit, you obey the Holy Spirit, amen? You keep on sowing, you keep on watering, it begins to accumulate. It's like Cornelius, his alms, amen, and his prayers came up before the Lord as a memorial. God took note of a man who, even though he wasn't doing it with selfish ambition, he was doing it out of love for people. He gave to people out of love. Amen? And he prayed for people. God took note of that. And he had no idea what was going on in the heavenlies. But he was a man that was faithful and consistently would pray and give and bless others. And it came up before the Lord as a memorial. Wow. How many want your name mentioned in heaven? How many know that when you talk to people about Jesus, Jesus confesses you before the Father. Your name gets brought up. There's one of my sons. There's one of my daughters. The Father says, okay, more joy, more love. Oh, I can trust them with a greater anointing. They're faithful with what they have. Are you hearing me? Be faithful in little, and I will make you ruler of much. Oh. The hardest thing about getting started is getting started. What does an ant do? An ant plants and prepares for the future. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 3 says, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. Eventually, in every life, there's going to be rain. How many know that rain can be a blessing or a curse? Sometimes it's like, oh, the rain! Yes, the rain! And the dry, parched land. Amen? Other times it's saying, oh, no, not more rain! God knows the right amount. And you know, I also see this as not just talking about adversity, but it also talks about where the tree, it says, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. It's really talking about the permanence. Once a tree has lived its life out, amen? And that tree falls, where it lands is where it's going to stay. It's talking about the permanence of where you were at when you died. Do you understand? Once you die, you can't go back and say, Lord, now I will serve you. Now I will obey you. And then some people, he's going to say, who are you? I don't know you. Well, when I retire, Lord, I'll serve you. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And you know, I also look at it this way. If you and I are faithful to seed the clouds, are you hearing me? Continue to pray, to sow. Amen. Eventually, there's going to be a cloud burst. Eventually, what has gone up will come down. Are you hearing me? If we really want a move of God, it's going to require consistent prayer. We've got to be faithful to pray. Amen. And keep praying, keep sowing in the Holy Spirit, knowing that someday, we don't know when, but someday, what we have invested ourselves into on behalf of the Lord and His kingdom, it will come back to us. And for that reason, we don't lose heart. We don't give up. We keep on sowing. Because there's an expectation that my labor is not in vain. I believe that God will pay attention, amen, to the investment I make. And the times that I have to deny myself to do what God wants to do, when I want to do this thing and God says, but I want you to do this thing. How many know it's a worthy investment to say no to self and yes to God? Because whatever you do for Christ will last. There's a little saying by a guy named, it's a little poem by John Ray. Hear this. As a tree falls, so must it lie. As a man lives, so must he die. As a man dies, so must he be, all through the years of eternity. You understand? When you die, if you die today, who you are, where you're at right now, is who you will be for eternity. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells us, look at Revelation 22 and verse 11. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And what does the Lord say? Listen, and behold, I am coming quickly. And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. When the Lord returns, those who are unjust will be fixed in that condition for eternity. No time to repent. No time to go back and make amends. When you and I die, where we're at is where we're going to be. How many would agree with me that's a good idea to get right with God? It's a good idea to be sowing in the Holy Spirit, to be bearing fruit unto eternal life, to be storing up a treasure in heaven, to have my name known in heaven, my name professed in heaven. It says the filthy will be filthy still. They're not going to have any further chance to change. People who want to continue to live in their addictions and their sin, who refuse to repent and do what they need to do when God is telling them to. When they die, if they're, oh, well, one of these days, Lord, I'll obey you. What if today is your last day? What if you were to die today? What if you took your last breath today? Do you have a confident assurance that when I see Jesus, I'm going to hear Him say, well done? Something to think about, isn't it? But then it says the righteous will continue to be righteous. The righteousness that we receive is the righteousness of Christ. And the holy will continue to be holy. Hear me, folks. You and I know we can't change our past. You can't change your past. But you can begin anew today. Today can be a new beginning for you. If you're willing to heed the voice of the Lord, listen to His voice, respond, get your life right, get your life in order, get it right. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But whatever happens, when we die, who we are when we die is who we will be for eternity. Are you in the righteousness of Christ? Are you in His holiness today? Is your heart right with your Father? Are you harboring unforgiveness or bitterness towards anybody? Are you refusing to repent of that sin that God's been dealing with you about? Do you understand how serious this is? When a tree falls, where it lands is where it's going to remain. God wants to give new beginning. God wants to forgive your sins. God wants to heal you. God wants to reconcile you, amen, to Him. God wants to make everything new for you. God has a kingdom that He wants to share with you. All of the riches, all that He has, He wants to share with us. And all He's asking us to do is to trust Him and to give our lives to Him. Because He can only save what He has. Many people are going to hell because they refuse to trust Christ. They refuse to give their life to God. Oh, they say it with their mouth, but their hearts are far from Him. Because a tree is known by its fruit. Your life will demonstrate what you really believe. That's why it says today is the day of salvation. Today we need to repent. Today we need to get right with God. Today we need to prepare for tomorrow. We need to start thinking that here we're only in a temporary time. Our life is like vapor, as James said. It's here today and gone tomorrow. What are we doing in light of eternity? Are we just spending it on vanity and just for self? Are we willing to follow the example of Jesus and take up our cross and deny ourselves that we might do the will of the Father, knowing that our labor will never be in vain? I'm going to continue, guys. Listen. It's possible to be too cautious. It's possible to be playing it safe. Because fear will put you in a prison. And it will shut you down. It will silence you. It will snuff the life out of you. We need to be like Peter. We need to be willing, if Jesus is out on the water, to get out of the boat. Because life is where He is. If Jesus is not in the boat, get out of the boat. If where you're at, God's not there. I am talking about not necessarily geographic. I'm just talking about where you're at right now and how you're living your life. If God's not in it, get out of that place. Amen. If you're in sin, get out of that sin and get into Christ and discover who He is and what His will and His purpose is for your life. If He's out on the water, get out on the water. If He's in the boat, get in the boat. But whatever you do, hold close to Jesus. Walk with Him daily, amen? And listen to His voice and do what He tells you to do, because what He tells you to do will be life-giving. Everything He does produces life. Verse 4 says, "He who observes the wind will not sow. He who regards the clouds will not reap." If you wait until conditions are perfect to serve the Lord, you won't accomplish anything. Can I suggest to you today that there are some sitting here, maybe even this morning, that God is just speaking volumes to you right now? I'm not here to pick on anybody. I'm just the paper boy. Amen? I'm just sharing with you what God is giving me to say, because He loves you. He corrects us because He loves us. He's not mean. Your parents correct you because they love you. Amen? Not because they're mean. Let's hope. Some people are waiting for the perfect conditions. Now you understand, we have to expect adversity. We're in a war. We're in a battle. There's going to be adversity. There's going to be opposition to you doing what God's called you to do. But the Lord is with you, and the Lord will give you victory. Why? Because He's gone before you. He's already prepared the way before you. He's walked this out. We need to discover where are the footprints of Jesus and walk in His steps. As I follow Him, He's the way maker. If you wait for zero wind conditions, you never get the seed into the fields. If you wait until there's no risk of rain, the crops will rot before they're harvested. A farmer understands that he can't sit around and wait for the perfect conditions. It's like, we got to get out, boys. We got to get out there and get the harvest in. Amen? Let's get busy. We got to get out there and we got to sow the seed before the season of seed is over. If we're not sowing today, come on, we may not have tomorrow. Are you going to get about sowing some seed today? Because if we don't sow, there's not going to be a harvest. But we sow with expectation that someday what I have invested in obedience to the voice of God will come back. Amen? And the joy is to know that others will be together with us in that day because we've been faithful to follow Jesus and to invite them to Jesus. We don't know everything, do we? We don't know what tomorrow holds. The knowledge we have is limited. We cannot, let's just come to this conclusion. We cannot understand all that God does or why He does it. Are we okay with that? Some people are not willing to trust God unless they've got an answer for everything that happens and everything God does. And if He doesn't line up with what they think He should do, then they don't like God. Are you hearing me? That's ridiculous. That's like the clay speaking out against the potter. It's like, he's the potter. He's going to do what he wants with the clay. Why are you making me this way? Why did you do? I would have done it this way. How arrogant. We're not even in the same league. He's creator. We're creation. So verse 6 says, in the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So diversify. Look for any opportunity to sow seed. Involve yourself in several areas even in ministry. I've done that. I look for ways to get out and do things a little differently. Maybe a new strategy. God gives wisdom. He gives strategies. There's a certain way to plant seed. There's certain conditions that are ripe and ready for it. Look for those places. Look for those hearts that God has prepared. And the best policy, hear me, is to fill our lives with the kinds of work that produce. And that's the will of God. So that's why it says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always, turn to your neighbor and say, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now the just shall live by faith. Faith is seeing that which is invisible, as though it were a present reality. Faith is seeing the harvest before you actually have the harvest. A farmer sows in faith with an expectation that I'm planting corn. That corn's going to grow. And someday we're going to be picking the corn. But if he doesn't have faith or confidence in that seed, then he won't sow. And he'll end up eating the seed. And there won't be any harvest. You understand? God is investing seed in our lives. Not just for us. But so we'll also take and invest that seed. With expectation. Someday I keep praying for these kids, I keep sowing into their lives, teaching them, watering, praying for them, that God's going to produce change. Because whatever God does is effective. And we just need to get with Him and do what He's doing. Look for opportunities. There's opportunities to serve right here in this fellowship too. Get involved with your church. Find out, say, Lord, what can I do to help things, to encourage things? How about start by coming to the services? Praying, getting to know people, building bridges and relationships to where now you have a potential field to sow into. I'm totally okay with people coming in here, you know, and sowing into the lives of somebody else. It doesn't have to always be from me. Amen? As long as you're doing it for Jesus. Amen? We're not here to build our own kingdom. We're building His kingdom. Cast your bread upon the waters. Be liberal. Keep sowing, right? For after many days you'll find it. Now here's one. Noah built the ark before it what? Okay. Elisha was instructed to dig ditches before any water was observed. They never saw actually any rain, and they never saw any wind. but they dug ditches. And what happened is God caused the water to flow from north in Edom to their location. So here they are digging wells in a dry place, no sign of rain. Are you hearing me? But they dug in faith, expecting that someday there's going to be water, because God told us to dig. When we pray, we need to be consistent to pray. Amen? And pray and believe and pray and believe, because we have an expectation that even though I'm not seeing anything right now, even though it may be dry in my life and I'm in the season of dryness, I keep praying, I keep sowing, I keep watering, I keep doing what God's telling me, and eventually what I have invested will come back, even if it has to come from a door I didn't even know existed. I'm expecting it to come from the north, and God's just bring it from the east. But He will do what He told you He would do if you're faithful to partner with Him and do your part, and that is sow and water. Amen? And He said in 2 Kings 3:16, this is the last one, He said, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink." Now, we may say that, wait a minute, if there's not going to be any wind and going to be any rain, what's the point in digging this? How is that going to happen? Are you hearing me? How is that going to happen? You ever wondered how God's going to do it? I tell you, many times I said, "God, you know we need help. I don't have a clue how it's going to happen, but I'm depending on you to help us here." And God has a way that I didn't even know existed. And then He comes through, and sometimes after I've pulled my hair out and I've stressed and I've popped a bunch of Rolaids, and I'm, "Oh God." And then He said, "Oh, ye of little faith," right? But we learn to grow in our faith and our confidence in God, and that He does what He says He does. But it's about the season. It's about the timing. And if we believe and we have eyes of faith, like a farmer, we're going to continue today to sow and to water and to be about our Father's business. And the day will come when that harvest will come in. Can you say amen? Because God is faithful. Now it happened in the morning, verse 20, when the grain offering was offered, that suddenly water came by way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. Now hear it. This water brought refreshing to the armies of Israel, but destruction on the Moabites, their enemies. Ah, do you understand? We're praying for revival. It's not good for the devil, but it's good for God's people. Amen? So when we pray, why do you think the enemy's trying so hard to get us to stop praying? He's working on you all the time to get you to stop petitioning heaven. Because he knows it's going to be destructive to the kingdom of darkness when a person makes up their mind that they're going to pursue God and they're going to seek Him. Even if they're not seeing any wind, they're not seeing any rain, but I'm going to continue to dig that well, amen, in prayer, and with expectation that someday there's going to be, just like there was in Acts chapter 2, a sound from heaven. And I can tell you, folks, I've witnessed this firsthand. Where we pursued God, we prayed for a long time. We prayed and we believed and prayed and believed. And things were happening here and there. But all of a sudden, there was just like a deluge. All of a sudden, God opened the windows of heaven. And all that we had been sowing over the years had come to fruition. And now there was miracles and signs and wonders. And people were filled with joy and excitement. And people wanted to go around and tell people about Jesus. People were loving one another. People were forgiving one another. People were in love with God. Let's get back there. Let's pursue Him. Let's get busy, amen, in sowing and watering with expectation. Let's not get weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap. Amen. Lord, we want You. Lord, we desire You. Lord, we want to live. and not die. We want to be alive in you. Lord, we want our hearts to be alive in you. Lord, we want our lives to be on fire. Lord, we want to burn for you. We want to be a sign and wonder. We want our life to be a sign and wonder to the world. God, we ask you, send the fire. Let your fire fall, Lord. Would you call on them right now? Say, Lord, let your fire fall on me. Purify my heart. Set my heart on fire. Give me holy passion, Lord, to do your will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, wake us up inside. Lord, bring your people to full flame. Bring us to full flame. We want to blaze for you. God, we don't want to be lukewarm. We don't want to be apathetic and complacent anymore. God, we ask you just to wake us up inside. Oh God, I need you. Would you ask the Lord, please forgive me for my lukewarmness and my apathy. And Lord, change my heart to yours. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah, God. Glory to your name, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. Just seek him right now. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, blessed be your name, Lord. Wash us in your precious blood. Lord, set the captives free. Break the yoke. Thank you, Jesus.